glory. We're going to have a wonderful service. Looking forward to it. Praise the Lord. Why don't we do this before we greet one another so that we can do two things at one time. I'm going to ask you and those that are listening, watching tonight, to just let's pray, and we're going to go before the Lord and consider a gift. I thank God for the day that I began on this walk. And I would have lived out the rest of my life being a good Christian and probably a pastor somewhere, having gone to college and received all that and gotten ready, but I would have never been, if it hadn't have been for some people in my life that introduced me to this walk. And somebody said, this walk. Well, it's a common term, but among us. And it's not a sacred term. It's just what we know and understand to be the kingdom of God with power. And thank God for the Valeries that are healed as a result of what we've come to know. And thank God for those of you that sow into this ministry so we continue to go forward, and we will go forward, and we'll see this fullness come, the kingdom of God come in fullness and revival. Hallelujah. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Why don't you say it with me? The dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, and thousands are born again in this outpouring. Hallelujah. I appreciate your thoughtful and prayerful responsibility in this. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you're the one that touches the hearts. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you will continue to touch the hearts. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will minister your grace in this giving this evening. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you'll put those out, if you'll all stand, if you have something tonight, why don't you greet one another? And if you have something, please bring it down. We thank you for all of those that are giving by internet. We appreciate it. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just welcome everybody again tonight, and everybody that's watching. We bless you. We appreciate our family out there that's watching and wherever. So we want to come into your living room and just share with you, and you share with us. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving tonight. We appreciate it, and your sensitivity to the things of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I have a dear friend that he knows how to push my buttons a little bit. He waits till I'm a few days in to a seeking time, and he always calls me, and prophetically he says, I don't know what spirit he's working from, and my wife says pathetic, not prophetic. And he always offers to take me and my wife to my favorite steakhouse with it, which is Ruth Chris. And he says, I'll take you right now if you'd want to go. And he knows where I'm at. And so he pulled that again. He pulled that again in the last few days. But I should have figured it was coming. But what I've got on him is I'm sitting out tonight and he's speaking. So I get to, you know, I always say that it's two or three days in that is your kind of the crux, you know, getting past. And so I appreciate this Ruth Chris guy coming tonight. That's Homer Betancourt. So let's give him a great big hand. Amen.
Cry out with all my heart. Go with me, Pastor Brock. I need your counsel. I need you tonight at Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and he just ignores me. I said, that's fine. I said, you and Miss Kennedy, y'all lack a lot of compassion. You're not my friend anymore. So I asked him, and it's over. I can't go anymore. So you either, Miss Candy. Kind of dark in here, guys. Turn the lights on. Just for a little while. Hallelujah. You might say, Homer, why do you got your Bible? The man can't preach without his Bible. So I got to have it with me. I'm happy to be here. I got a lot going through my mind. I got to pace myself. I got to make sure I don't speak what Homer wants to speak. Received a directive from the Father. I thought I had the book of Romans understood, or I thought I had a comprehension. Obviously, there's a lot more to it that I don't understand, because the Lord had me just recently to go start going through the book of Romans just over and over, through the whole book, over and over again. And he told me to start going over the miracles of Jesus in the New Testament, just going over the miracles and saturating myself with what the book of Romans is. So I started that Monday, just going through it, how, like Pastor Dave taught us, just assimilating it, praying in the Holy Ghost, and going through the miracles, all the miracles that Jesus did. How many of you know that's not two separate directives? That's one, because it's the kingdom of God. Amen. The miracles in the kingdom of God are just as important as the doctrine of the kingdom. They're all one thought. Obedience to the doctrine brings the miracles. Your faith builds up when you hear God's word and you keep it. If you know, there's really, you can say there's two kinds of compassion, a humanistic compassion and then a godly compassion, but there's only one godly compassion. If you despise somebody as a Christian, there really isn't much compassion in you to want to see them get healed of any sickness. That's godly compassion. There's not two types of godly compassion. There's one. And the same God that wants me to forgive you is the same God that wants you healed. And he wants to work that miracle through me and you. So we got to develop that mercy and the compassion inside of us. Alan Taylor has an excellent series right now on compassion. And I love it. I talked to him. Well, I didn't talk to him today. I just asked him. We've been preaching lately on compassion. So I'm here today to present to you the kingdom of God, which is every bit of miracles. Don't let anybody ever tell you different. Don't let anybody tell you different. That it's just about words, because the New Testament tells me something totally different, completely different. Miracles and the doctrine of the kingdom. It's all one thought. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. Amen. We're going to have a good time tonight, a real good time. Like I said, it was Monday when I felt this in my spirit to start going through Romans from 1 to 16 just over and over again. He says, is it hard? No, it hadn't been hard. Actually, I just was able to see new stuff in there that I hadn't seen before. And then seeing Christ walk in this power and healing everyone he touched, it's just starting to minister to me. You think God knows what he's doing? He knows what he's doing in me. He saturated me with his word that I would be a steward of what's inside of me and keep it to the end. I'm trying to really pace myself, really am. While I received this directive from God, that I feel is a directive from him, I heard these words, and out of the blues, I know it had to be him, because when I did some research into these words, I just couldn't stop weeping. And you say, Homer, you weep all the time. Yes, you have a fabulous point there. I do. I got dry eye syndrome. I'm overly healed of dry eye syndrome. I'm healed of it completely. But I heard these words, the Declaration of Independence. And I'm pro-military, man. I'm pro our police officers. I'm pro-military. I'm just a pro-military. I mean, I'm here preaching with this mic in my hand because our military is defending our freedom. And I get so worked up about them. And I get so worked up. I take it real personal when I see our flag being burnt. I take it real personal. But then I heard these words, Declaration of Independence. So first I went to Google. I don't want to exaggerate. I went to Google to have my kids pull them out, pull an article out of the Declaration of Independence. And I said, well, you know what? Instead of you reading it to me, I got a great idea. I'm going to go to YouTube. And I YouTube Declaration of Independence. And I did a little, I'm not a scholar on it. I don't know much about it, but I put about 2 hours worth of research into what the Declaration of Independence was. And I wept a lot because these guys, man, they, I read what Thomas Jefferson, our third president, you know, he wrote with a little assistance, the Declaration of Independence, and what they stood for. And I know some people will say, well, yeah, he was a slave owner. Yeah, he was. He had 100 slaves. He sure did. But, you know, the thing about it is that Thomas Jefferson, which was our third president, he wrote the Declaration of Independence, about 1,400 words. And people will say, well, yeah, well, he was a slave owner, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Yeah, he was. Yes, he was. But I urge you, as I heard in this documentary, that 90% of the people in the world today know nothing about the Declaration of Independence. They know nothing about it. And back when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, 90% knew everything about it. So we've fallen from truth. And people will say, well, yeah, he was a slave owner. Yes, he was. But you know what the funny part is? The church. They're quick to point that out. But the church, the modern day church, is quick to exalt. It's quick to exalt a platform that includes 1 million babies being killed every year. The body of Christ is quick to exalt a platform that includes the slaughter of 1 million babies a year. The modern day church, and I'm so proud of Alex and Carl and Renee, and I sent them a text the other day regarding some supposed comments by our president. At first, you know, I made some comments I shouldn't have made. Nothing bad, but I was not in the room. I got an opinion about it, but if you want to hear it, I'll talk to you about it after church, about some comments made about the country of Haiti. And I was so proud of them three because I sent them a text. I said, ponder this, boys. Ponder this. I said, isn't it amazing as Christian minorities that we take personal, we take it more personal that a comment would be made about our culture than the slaughter of 1 million babies a year? It's wrong when born again, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled believers take more personal a supposed shot at our culture than the death of 1 million babies, man. Where is the conviction? Where is the biblical truth? Pastor nailed it the other day. Nailed it. I was at the hospital last night with my dad till about 1 a.m. And this isn't the message, but I'm taking a rabbit trail on purpose. We were there last night. Renee was working. I had fun with that. He was at Gulf Coast Hospital. Renee was there. By the way, Renee is exceptional at what he does, man. He is real good at what he does. Nothing. Anyway. We were there, I love you, Renee. No, but he's working tonight. Yeah, he's worked 3 nights in a row. And my dad was there. When he was there since 4. We got there a little late. We were there about, 6 hours, 7 hours? And you know what? I was just there, and they finally put us in a room. This is where we're at now as a country, and it breaks my heart. This is where we're at. And I'm going to use the name of a couple races just to be dramatic to prove a point to you. They put us in a room as a white nurse, a white nurse. I say that for a reason. She's very nice. Everyone there at that Gulf Coast Hospital was so nice. So nice. She put us in the room, sat us down. We got comfortable. She came back and said, I am so, so sorry. Please, she almost didn't want to say, please don't get mad. Please don't get mad. Please don't get mad. I'm going to have to move you to the hallway. She apologized 3 or 4 times because she moved us to the hospital. Why would she apologize? Then I realized that she moved us into the hallway. And a white couple was ministered into the room. administered into the room. My point is this. She wasn't being racist. The guy behind us had a more severe case than my father. She was so apologetic and didn't want to do it because of where we're at now with racism. It is everywhere. Everywhere. Poor lady working a 12-hour shift, apologizing with a sincere heart. I'm so sorry. Please don't get mad. I'm mad right now because I could use a hamburger, ma'am. I've been in here a while. Is that where we're at? Is that where we're at? Where everything is racism. Everything. Everything. And I was so proud of the boys of Robert. I mean, of, no, Robert's not Haitian. Of Alex and Carl and Renee, because, yeah, but they didn't, for one minute, they weren't the majority. They were the minority that thinks like we think here at the Family Prayer Center. So proud of Harry, a post that he put up too. I'm proud of the way our young adults respond here on Facebook. I'm so proud. That's a testimony to what they're taught by Pastor Bronk. And I'm so proud of them that they didn't use that excuse or that. You know, Satan wants a response from the church at times like that. He wants us to respond. Even as Christians, we don't even know any better. We don't know any better. Let's be careful. Be vigilant in our faith. Diligent in our faith. Because we serve him. We serve him. And we are his voice piece. We are who represent the kingdom of God for what we say and do. Let's be so careful how we conduct ourselves. He's looking for a few good men and women that will let their light shine like a city set on a hill. He's looking for a few men and women that are willing to die the death daily. That leads me to the Constitution. No, not to the Constitution, but to the Declaration of Independence. And I began to read it and I heard it. And I wept. And why'd you weep? Because of what these men died for. Liberty. And you'll know where I'm going with this in a little bit. They died for freedom. They refused to be under a dictator, under what word am I looking for? A tyrant. They called him a tyrant. Thomas Jefferson called him a tyrant in the Declaration of Independence. He said he's a tyrant. King George III was his name. He listed 25 to 28 offenses that King George had committed towards the colonies. He listed 25 to 28 offenses as to what King George had done to the 13 states. And some of the things that he said was, you've taken our people, you've shipped them overseas to try them through your judicial system. You tried them for things they never even did. You've stopped our commerce. You said we couldn't trade with any other countries. You've taxed us. You've burned our house. You've taken our women. You've done this. You've done that. But we stand here together, united. And this Declaration of Independence, we're going to give you reasons as to why we will be liberated from you and why we will take this to the end, even unto death. Right there, I began to lose it. I can just picture these men, like, just looking at their wives and their children. A lot of them were farmers and just common people like us. Just see them taking their musket with them and looking at their wives and their kids. I gotta go, baby. This is for freedom. This is for liberty. We will not be under a dictator. We will not be under a tyrant. We won't do it. And you picture the way that they had war back then. They would kneel down in two rows and they would stand in front of each other, maybe 100 yards apart or 50 yards apart, and they would shoot at each other. I wouldn't fight like that. I'd shoot, I'd run, and I'd hide under a tree and I'd shoot again. No, I'm not going to. They would load their musket. Load their musket. So with the other side. Yeah. And they'd get shot and killed. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not scared. I'm just smart. I'd have to climb on a tree and shoot my rifle or something. I mean, and they stand there till they reload again. Mm-mm. I couldn't be part of the Continental Army. I'd be shooting from a tree. But to know that they loaded that musket, man, maybe for the last time, you don't think there was an emotional battle at that time? Am I doing this for the right reasons? You don't think they thought about their grandkids they're leaving behind? You don't think they thought about their beautiful wives that they're leaving behind? Maybe this was their last day alive, but they still went forward and fought for freedom. Declaration of Independence. We want to dissolve ourselves from you, Great Britain. We will not be in bondage to you. 1,400 words. Declaration of Independence were reasons why we want to be dissolved from you, Great Britain. This. This is what you're doing to us. They said you've risen up the natives to rise up against us. You hired mercenaries to come in and to kill our people. You've caused our people to kill each other, or else you'd kill them. And I've heard it 3 or 4 times, and I may not be right on point with it. Give me a little bit of grace. But I admired the Declaration of Independence. I admired it. It stirred me. It moved me. It brought me to tears. Okay, Miss Rosie, I gotta go. Come back to me, Homer. I'll try my best, baby, but I gotta go out and I gotta fight for freedom. What about the part of them having slaves? We'll say that for another day. But I was so moved, I was so stirred by the Declaration of Independence. I was so stirred by it. Moved by it. Proud of those that fought for freedom. Expressed 25 or 28 offenses that King George III had committed against the colonists. And it moved me. And it moved me. And it brought me to a spiritual Declaration of Independence, which is the book of Romans in my eyes. Because the book of Romans talks so much about why we are free and what happened for our freedom and how to stay free. And our spiritual I'm just trying to talk real slow because I don't want to get ahead of myself and get emotional. Emotional with words. Not emotional with tears. I'll always cry probably to the day that I die. But our spiritual Declaration of Independence was written by one Paul. I mean, you could use every epistle as a book. But Paul lays out word for word like a scholar, like a theologian, like someone that knew what he was talking about when he wrote the masterpiece of Romans. I'm convinced that if we can grasp as saints the book of Romans, the rest of the Bible will be unlocked to you pretty easy. I'm still convinced that the body of Christ still does not know how free that we are. I must not know how free that I am if I'm asked to go through the book again, over and over and over again. I must not understand how free I am. So I began to read Romans again and in our spiritual Declaration of Independence. Well, you know, our freedom came at a tremendous price, at the price of perfection, the price of a just man that did no sin yet was treated like an unjust man. But that just man was just so that me, the unjust person, would be just and righteous inside. And our spiritual declaration of independence is, to me, is the book of Romans. And I'm going to go back a little bit into stuff that we've taught a million times. But we have to understand what we are. We have to understand that we will not live a life under a tyrant like the flesh. We will not live our life. A tyrant is an evil dictator, an evil person. How many know the flesh is about as evil as it comes? It's evil. It has one agenda to contradict the word of God. It has one agenda to contradict the spirit of the living God. But there's been a spiritual declaration of independence. We are free from that tyrant. Completely free from the flesh. We've been made servants through the rebirth to God the Father. But we have to steward the freedom that we are. We have to keep it and know every day that a tyrant wants to rise up against me and you to contradict God's word. But there is a spiritual declaration of independence that said that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. We've been made free from that tyrant. Delivered from the tyrant. Why? Because the spirit of the Almighty God lives inside of me and you. We are more than conquerors. Super victorious, the Greek says. Those men, they loaded that musket. They fired that bullet or whatever the rifles were. Dying for the liberty that we wanted. One has already died for the liberty that lives inside of me. You now, me and you got to walk it out. That's revival, my friends. That is the kingdom of God. I'm not going to go deep into Romans tonight on purpose. I'm just trying to set something in stone for you. This is our spiritual independence. Spiritually, we are so set free from that tyrant. But the tyrant doesn't know that we're set free from him. He still talks. He still accuses. He still contradicts God's word. But the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is why people fail. The law of sin and death that's in the flesh, the old covenant saints had it in them. Nothing changed from the old covenant to the new as far as the law of sin and death. It still exists in the flesh. It's still there. We're just made free from it. This is why Christians fall. We're not free from emotions. Emotions come and go. Some days you feel them, and some days you don't. But we're made free from the power of those emotions. The emotion will be there probably forever. Emotions are going to go and come, but the Christian that wants to take it one step further into an outpouring of the kingdom of God, what separates the two? Why does one stop and why does one not stop? Because the one that doesn't stop, he overcomes a feeling. He overcomes a, sometimes he's got to be tough. Sometimes he'll give in. The one that gives in continually, he's going to stay at that place of maturity. He's going to stay right there where he's at. But we're up against a tyrant, my friends. An evil dictator. Yes, Satan, of course, yes. But we were a flesh. And we have been so set free from inside. Now we have to steward the freedom and the liberty that's inside of us. Sometimes that means we have to overcome emotions. That's why there's failure. Because if we feel it, we must give ourselves into it. No. That's why Colossians 3 says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. That word mortify, I looked it up in English. It says to subdue the body by self-denial or discipline of its deeds. I talked to Gary about this the other day. Because I know that fasting mortifies the flesh. I know that. But in context here, in Colossians 3, it just means don't do it. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. And then he lives what you are to mortify. Adultery, blah, blah. You don't have to do a 40-day fast not to commit adultery. That power is given at the rebirth. You don't have to do a 40-day fast not to fornicate. That power is given at the rebirth. Paul said in Colossians, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But you didn't understand. I felt like doing it. Yes. Emotions. That tyrant is not your daddy anymore. Abba Father is your daddy. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death didn't go anywhere. It still exists in our flesh. But we're not in bondage. Christ lives in, like Pastor said the other day, we serve the God, Father of spirits. Christ abideth in our spirit, man. He doesn't abide in the flesh. He abides in our spirit. If he abides in my spirit and does not abide in my flesh, then my flesh is what I am to mortify through fasting or through just not doing it. I'm glad those 13 states, those farmers that went to war for liberty, didn't quit because of emotion. They loaded their musket, kissed their wives. I'm off, baby. I'm off. For freedom's sake. Lord, I'm going to say the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing, Lord, because I have to exalt your platform, Father. I have to glorify you on this earth, Father. I have to learn to be quiet. I have to learn to obey the inner witness, Father. I am here to bring you glory, Father. I have been completely set free, Father, and I'm here. I have one agenda. That is to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And if I follow Jesus Christ, I'm doing your will from my heart, Father. I have been made free. Sometimes I don't feel like I've been made free, but this still does not take away from the biblical truth that we are free. Completely made free from the law of sin and death. That tyrant, he's got a voice. The voice will always be there to an extent. But the peace inside of me and you can increase and increase and increase. I want to be the one that finishes my course. If I walk out of my driveway, I look to the right, there's a man there in a wheelchair. If I look to my left, it's about the same distance to the left and the right, there's another man in a wheelchair. They're there. Modern day Christianity doesn't even talk about miracles. And if you talk about miracles, you're crazy. I'm not content where I'm at. I'm not content. I'm in good shape compared to those two in wheelchairs. I'm in good shape, man. We can't let a tyrant have his way with us when we are already free internally. Emotions? Oh, yes. I heard Gary Carpenter say one time, and correct me if I'm wrong, he said an emotional battle was the hardest battle to ever overcome. They seem so real. What do you do, Homer? I got to entrench myself and fight to do the right thing. Now, of course, you add fasting to it. It brings a peace to you where it gets a lot easier to overcome them emotions. That I will say. Give yourself to the Holy Ghost for hours a day. It does something to you where you can walk right through it. But there's sometimes that those emotions, they just rise up What do, Homer? Look into the law of liberty. And fight and grind sometimes to do what's right. Is it easy? No. No, it's not easy. But it's the will of God that we fight through it. It's the will of God that we fight through it. We have, that we know about, that we read about in the New Testament, 10 men that went before us and fought emotions. 11, the apostles. They overcame every emotion. And you know, sometimes I don't think we give them enough credit, even when they walk with Jesus, not being born again. Because you don't think they were threatened? Even not being born again when they walk with Jesus, you don't think they were scared of it, yet they still marched with him. I don't think we give them enough credit sometimes. That's why when they received the nature of God and were filled with the Holy Ghost, they changed the world. They had no platform. I've had, the last couple years, I've had three or four churches that have asked me, will you come speak at the church? I didn't even answer them. They said, we want you to preach at our church. I said, no, you don't. I didn't say it to them. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. I was told, well, we just need to learn to come together and lay aside our doctrinal differences. No, no, sir. I'm not laying down the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not laying down praying in tongues. I'm not laying down that you can do all you want in the world as a Christian and still be born again. No, no, I'm not laying that doctrine down. No, sir, I won't go. I won't go. I'll stay here under my pastor as an associate and be very content and happy. Well, God's really using me. He's using me to preach here and there. Well, he might be using you, but I said no. I said no to it. You might think that's an open door. I don't. If I'm going to go and I'm going to preach the raw gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to preach it. Be honest with you, unless I'm missing it, God didn't tell them to invite me to their church. He didn't tell them. But I'm not backing down. Now, I got to admit, I got to walk in love. Yes, I do. But I'm not going to sit there and limit myself to what I say based on a deacon board. It got the 11 in trouble. Hey, I'm not scared of a little trouble. What are they going to do, pluck my eyes out? Send me to Immokalee? Yeah, what are they going to send me to Immokalee? Right now, we're a laughing stock. You just wait, man. When the glory of our Father. When the glory of our Father. Can you imagine? Right now, what we go through is a light affliction. It's light affliction. What we go through is just, it's a light affliction. But I'm telling you, there's a flesh to be conquered daily. There's a love to be walked in and a mercy and compassion to be attained to bring our Father glory. I love my church. I love what we're taught. Because what we're taught, if we hear it and we apply it, it teaches you to get rid of yourself. To get rid of yourself. It teaches you never to take the side of culture over the word of God. It teaches you never to look at the color of a man's skin over the eternal truth of the Almighty God. People in my own race call me, you're just trying to be white. Trying to be white because I'm defending the lives of babies? Well, then call me a cracker of all crackers then. Well, I'm a cracker. I'm a redneck then. If that qualifies me to be white, then I believe that a man should marry a woman. If that makes me wrong, then I'll stand the judgment. Donna Roberts put something awesome on Facebook yesterday. What was it, baby? What was it she put? As a fetus, as a human being. I got rebuked about three. I mean, he told Pastor Bunker, I'm not going to tell him. I got rebuked about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Somebody, because I mentioned abortion. She got to rebuke me again. 4 people. And I got a bunch of Christian friends on my Facebook. 4 people liked it. 4 people liked it. Four people agreed that a fetus was a person with a heartbeat. 4. I probably got 600, 700, 800 friends on Facebook. 4. You don't think our Father wants more than anything His glory to be manifested here in this little town? We have been so set free to work exploits for the Father. Those men had steel go through their body, some shot in the face, limbs shot off for liberty, for liberty, for freedom. We have liberty living inside of us. The price for our liberty was tremendous. We have a perfect example right before us in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we are to follow His footsteps. This is the example that He left us, who did no sin, nor with guile found in His mouth. Listen to the example that Jesus left us. He did no sin. Yeah, but you're just a sinner saved by grace. That's not what Peter said. He said, I'm leaving you an example to follow the footsteps of Christ, who did no sin. Homer, yeah, we're only human. The part where God lives inside of us is holy. That's the part of us that we live out of. There is no sin in our spirit. Holiness and true righteousness springs forth out of our spirit, Ephesians 4. He left me and you an example. What example did He leave us? That He did no sin. If that's the example that He left us, then what are we supposed to walk in? Answer it. If He left me an example, He told me to follow the footsteps of His example, and the example was that He did no sin, then what are me and you supposed to live in or not live in? Sin. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? That's how far we are from the kingdom still. It's attainable. It's attainable. Like Pastor said, the born-again spirit is tried, buddy. It's been road tested. 100% victorious. And that spirit that was in the Almighty, in Christ Jesus, is inside of me and you. I said one time to a friend of mine, I can't say the names because they listen sometimes. I said, 1 out of every 3 pastors is addicted to a slight form of pornography, according to Charisma many years ago. 1 out of every 3 pastors. 1, 2, it's just, we're all right, Pastor Bunk. I only got 2. We're all right. The person told me, we're only human. Who are you to judge? I said, oops, you just betrayed yourself, sister. You just betrayed yourself. Your mouth will get you. If you really want to find out where somebody's at, have a prolonged conversation with them. Eventually, their mouth is going to betray them. Something's going to happen. You're everywhere today, Homer. Yeah, I really am everywhere today. But I'm here to tell you that we are an absolute powerhouse. Emotions are to be overcome. How? Sometimes there's grit in your teeth, man. Father, Your word means more to me than the moment. Your word means more to me than this oppressive feeling. They shot their musket not knowing what the next moment would hold for liberty, for freedom, so that their families would not be under a dictatorship, under a tyrant. That was the, what he did to the colonists is just, it's incredible what he did to them. But they stood up for their liberty, for their country. Oh, for my country. For their country. How much more can me and you not stand up for God our Father? We've been made servants of righteousness. At the rebirth, you were made a servant of righteousness. He has to mean more to me and you than the moment. He has to mean more to me and you than a comeback or an offense given or an offense taken. I had to repent because I had one of my sons been like in three fights in the last 3 months. And I was hypocritical. I had to repent. I knew he got in a fight. He knew he was in trouble. What do you think the first question was that I asked him? Did you win? No, I lost. No, he didn't say that. I chastised him for fighting. Then I asked, did you win? By the way, he was 2 for 3. He won 2 and lost 1. But I had to repent. Because when I said good job on the 2 that he won, I taught him something. I taught him something. Then my wife would correct. She said, no, he's not going to fight again. And you're right, he's not. If he does, he's going to get it again. We got to be real careful how we raise our children. Talk to our wives. Conduct ourselves in public. How we handle our children. I'm after him, young people and old people. Not looking at Miss Candy, Pastor Brown. Not at you. I'm talking about you, Miss Candy. Yeah. We got to finish. We're going to wake up in the morning. That tyrant's going to be talking, yelling, screaming. But we're servants of God from the heart, doing his will from the heart. That's why some fall and some make it, because they give in to the feeling at the moment. I have feelings too, my friends. I have them too. Unfortunately, sometimes I give in. Most of the time I don't, but sometimes I do. And you know, when I gave in to the feeling, I didn't have to. Because if I didn't give in to the feeling on Monday, I didn't have to give in to the feeling on Tuesday. If I didn't give in to the feeling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I gave in to it on Saturday, I didn't have to, because I didn't do it Monday through Friday. Now we've got a little fasting to the equation here pretty soon. I think I'm going to start after my birthday. Is it December this year? Okay. You had to, yeah. You knew that one, didn't you? No, December of this year, baby. But I'm, as you can tell, I really didn't have nothing deep today. But I was moved. But I was moved by these men. Burned their houses. The more and more I read about Great Britain and their armies, they were cruel people. The farmers got sick of it. Death or freedom? Death or freedom? Saints of God, born of Him. It's His way, even when that tyrant contradicts His way. Well, I just had to say it. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Just wanted to say it. I'm convinced now, one of the greatest lines I've ever heard Pastor Dave say, and I can see it so clearly, my friends. And he would say, you did it because you wanted to. In other words, my friends, sin is a choice. If you've been sanctified in spirit, sin is a choice. And though the blood of Jesus runs freely and we're cleansed from sin, there's consequences sometimes. There's consequences. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death that's in my members. I've been made free from feelings because His life is what I live out of inside of me. Journey with me to the book of Romans. Journey with me. I'm going to annihilate that book along with the miracles of Christ in the Gospels. I'm going to go through it. You've been made free. You've been made free from sin. You've been made free. The Spirit of the Almighty God lives. There's not an emotion in this world that me and you cannot overcome. Not one. Not one. Not one emotion that we cannot overcome. Except the emotion of not wanting to fast after your birthday. Not one. Not one. See, that isn't a common doctrine. I bet you 99% of the church would disagree with that statement. No, no, we're only human. You got to sin. We have been made free from sin. Romans 6. But God be thanked. Listen, this is the word of God. But God be thanked that ye were past tense, the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, being made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. My spirit is liberated, my friends. The Spirit of God dwells in there. And I can be just like the farmer that took up his musket and fought for freedom. I can stand and live for freedom and liberty to put a smile on my Father's face, to do those things that are pleasing in His sight, to finish this course, to bring Him glory. I do like it a lot that through all these years of praying in the Holy Ghost, less and less of me wants to be heard. I want to bring Him so much glory. I gotta ask Him to forgive me sometimes because I'm thinking, my God, what have I laid my hands on that guy? This is how far I am a little bit from truth. I picture myself laying hands on somebody that doesn't have a leg or an arm. My wife said that person's hurting real bad. And I picture myself laying my hands on him and that person getting up healed. Then I ask God to forgive me of pride. I said, wait a minute. That's not pride wanting to see that man rise up that has one leg. That's not pride. That's the kingdom of God. So we're, Lord, forgive me for thinking that I just want glory. I said, no, I don't. I want that man to walk. We got to watch ourselves sometimes. Oh, I can't believe I thought. Yes, we need to be thinking that thought. We need to be thinking it. God, imagine the expression on his face, Father. The man has one leg. in the name of Jesus Christ. The other one grew up. Imagine the expression on his face. Imagine the expression on people at the restaurant. Imagine what kind of glory you would get, Father, when the man that laid hands on the sick person said, it wasn't me, it was him. Imagine that. We got to start thinking this. You have to start thinking that God can use you, me, Gay, Marty, even Miss Candy. He can use all of us. Yeah. Miss Candy, no, Miss Candy's one of my favorite people in the world. She knows that. I can pick on her. We're blessed here in this little church. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed, man. Do you understand what we have? Do you understand what is taught? The apostles' doctrine, that's what's taught. Heard a guy tell me, and I'm winding down already. He said, my pastor's so smart. He said that to me. I said, yeah, but I bet you my pastor can beat your pastor up. Bet you my pastor's wife makes the best salad in the world with olives. My pastor's so smart. Okay, will you take that smart pastor and show his degree in theology to one that can't walk? Here, look what I got. I don't want religion like that, man. Actually, I feel pretty good that I was asked to preach at 3 churches, 4 churches, and I said no. I didn't say no. I changed the conversation. I'm content sitting here being taught. Now, if somebody asks me, then I feel comfortable with it. I run it by Pastor Bronk. If I preach anywhere, I run it by my pastor. That's just common etiquette. That's just courtesy. That's respect for the man that you labor with and the man that's ahead of you. That's just respect. And I have no problem. But I'm not going to hide the doctrine of the apostles just to make you happy, man. It says because your deacon board does not approve. Says because your deacon board doesn't approve of the baptism. What, did I really say that? And we're going to get in trouble for what we preach. But you know what? He's number one. He goes first. He gets in trouble. Marty second. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is we're empowered. The Spirit of the Almighty God. And then we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And my God. My God. Hospital last night. 40 people in the waiting room. 40 people to get beds. And I did think last night. I said, what if Jesus would have been in this place? They would have had beds to spare galore. Beds everywhere. And then I thought to myself, my God, why don't you just get up and pray for people? This world is dying. Everywhere we look, people are sick, oppressed of Satan. We've got to bring him glory, man. We have to bring him glory. We have to bring him glory. We have to push back the meal. We have to pray in the Spirit. Read the Word. We have to love one another. Gosh Almighty, every day is so critical. If those farmers could lay down their life for freedom and liberty, I say me and you can lay down our life to do the things that please our Heavenly Father. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That I would lay down my life for my brother. We are well equipped. It's just a matter of wanting to lay down your life. I used to think in the early part when I started preaching, if I can just preach everywhere, I'm going to change the world upside down. That's who I am. The farmers laid down their life. Many were killed. Limbs missing for freedom and liberty. Our spiritual declaration of independence says that we are free from the bondage of this world. We are free from darkness. We are free from the tyrant called the flesh. The flesh can't comprehend that it's not born again. It has no reverence for God's word. No reverence for it. It doesn't have to, because we're told to mortify the flesh. Because it's just, we're told to mortify. Don't do it. Mortify your members, which are upon the earth. And it lists what those things that we are to mortify. It lists them. Mortify means don't do it. Don't do it. It means don't do it. Can I say it again? It means don't do it. Don't do it. Homer, you seem to, when you preach sometimes, that you devalue fasting and prayer. Oh, no, I don't. I'm talking sin is what I'm talking about. Sin. The born-again spirit is enough to have you overcome sin. Fasting and prayer works. I'm going to use my friend as an example, then I'm done. And if you tell anybody I said this about you, I'm going to deny it, Miss Candy. Miss Candy makes me very mad. You know why? Because nice people make me mad. She's always nice. I love you, Homer. I love you too, Miss Candy. And I know she's a fasting machine. I know she is. And many times, my anger that I love you, it just warms my heart. Nice people aren't cool. And I know she spends time with Jesus. I know she fasts a lot. So there's a godly jealousy of her in my heart. A godly jealousy. Won't walk by me and ignore me. Even if I don't feel like talking, she still makes me talk. That's an awesome testimony, isn't it? Her lifestyle encourages me to fast. We all encourage each other by something that we do. We all do. Not just her. We all do. The five limbs are waiting for us. By the way, I'm just playing about the fasting after my birthday. One's coming. I know it is. I think I'm actually hungry for it. You know why? Because I see the love that Miss Candy walks in. It does something to me. She's got me saying, I love you too, back to her again. She can actually hug her sometimes now. Man, I'm getting soft. Amen. The farmers put down their pitchforks, stopped feeding the pigs, took up the musket, kissed the wife and the kids. I'm going to fight for freedom, honey. Those few in Immokalee and LaBelle and Lehi who have to steward what lives inside of us. We can't be content with the norm. There has to be a self-denial inside of us that all we want is for His light to shine in our life so that He would be magnified. That's our only desire, that the Word of God be made manifest externally. That's what I want. And you do too, because you're here on a Wednesday. No culture in the kingdom. No Hispanic culture. There's no African American culture. No Haitian culture. There's the culture of the kingdom. And that's all that matters. It's all that matters. I'm proud of Alex because he's on Facebook a lot. But he doesn't waver from what he's taught here. He does not waver. He faces opposition. I know because I'm nosy and I have my wife read it to me. Come on, who's fighting with Alex now, baby? Tell me. But he doesn't waver from the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Miss Candy. Amen. Stand with me, please. You got anything you want to say, Pastor? Okay, here's Pastor.
seated for just a moment. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wasn't that good? Amen. So good. I just appreciate this man so much, and what he stands for, and his wife. And the wonderful thing about Homer is, obviously, you know from the way that he teaches that he's on this walk 100%. And he teaches healing and miracles as strong as I do, even with the challenge that he presently possesses. But I'm telling you, along with everything that you're going to receive, I wanted to say he's a hero of mine, and he is. That's a matter of fact. But many of you are heroes of mine. Because even though you may not have an outward challenge that everyone can see, you're here. And you've fought the good fight of faith. And so I applaud all of you and so many of you listening out there. This is a wonderful man. He really is. And his wife is greater than he because she lives with him. It was amazing hearing his testimony about his dad because, surprisingly enough, and I hadn't even mentioned to Homer, I was in Gulf Coast Hospital Monday night myself with my dad. And I put this out there so you guys can pray because I'm going over there tomorrow to minister to them. Mom and Dad need some ministry right now. They need some real changes in their life and some things that needs to take place. And they love God, and they're wonderful people, just wonderful. Some of the best people I know. And but I called Dad Monday evening because I told him I'd call him back. He'd called me earlier, and I told him I'd call him back. And when I called, someone other than he answered his phone, and which was surprising to me. And I could not make sense of the person. They were just kept saying hello, and I repeated that back to them. The call was dropped, or they closed the call, and then I called right back. They picked up again, and it was a neighbor that was assisting him. And the neighbor was there, and it was a lady that was a dear lady trying to assist him with the paramedics. He had fallen, severely fallen in the parking lot at where he lives. And the paramedics were there. They took him to Gulf Coast Hospital. When I say severely, I mean the effects of his fall were severe. He was there a while before any of us could get there, and I was the only one that was able to get there. Gerald and Deanne was able to go to be with my mother. And of course, this time of year, and I've been down there a number of times with him, the thing about it is, I'll tell this to all of you, and we all live really healthy lives around here overall is in our congregation. Don't get sick. And don't have any accidents. Don't need to go to the hospital. Don't need to. Please. Because I can tell you, unless you're going in there as a cardiac arrest person or somebody that is between life and death, you're going to sit for hours and hours, especially our population in Southwest Florida doubles at least. And I know this from my son-in-law was a paramedic slash fireman, basically, for a number of years. I don't know, does he have his paramedic license? I'm not sure. Anyway, you know Mike. Very professional for about 14 years, I believe. So I know that the population doubles in Lee and Collier County, basically, and the influx of people, there's no way. They had my dad in a hall bed, and he was in the very, very back. And when I walked in, I was taken, though I didn't say much to him. He had no lacerations, but incredible abrasions. It looked like he had been beaten severely in his face. His face was bloody in a number of places. His arms, just a real pitiful mess, a real pitiful mess. And today, they did whatever they could for him. Thank God there was no broken bones. But my daughter Amber, which is a nurse, went over the next day and began to try to wash him up because they couldn't do much with him that night. As much as they could, they bandaged him up. Candy was over today and was helping. So we're going to go over and minister to him tomorrow. But I present that to you to let you know, please, many of you that know my parents, pray for them and pray for my father. He needs a healing in his body, and just good people. Praise the Lord. I feel like, let's all stand together. We have some visitors, and I certainly don't want to put them on the spot, but sir, I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for you. Is that okay? Can I pray for you? Can I just pray for you?
Pray for me.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I feel like the Lord wants to minister to you physically and wants
he
to.
Has.
I know he has.
He has in so many ways.
That's what I understand.
I've been wanting to come here for a long time.
Okay.
My wife can tell you that.
Well, can you come out here and let me just pray for you? Is that,
yeah,
would that be okay?
No, no, no.
Fantastic. This is.
No,
that's exactly right. There ain't no shame in our game either. Come on.
No, no, no.
Wife, come down, would you please?
No, 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 no. I'm very proud to be here.
Okay.
Bronc
Flint.
I know what the good Lord has done in my life in the past 7 months.
I understand that you had an open heart surgery. Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir.
Okay. And the Lord's on you right now, so I just want to pray for you. I'm, as if that's okay. And what I'm going to do is, if it's okay, I'm just going to touch you gently,
yeah,
and just pray. And I'd like the rest of you to just, yeah, pray, stretch your faith this way. Homer, if you'll just lead Homer over here. What's your name for?
Manuel.
Manuel, nice to meet you, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is what we live for. And Lord, you've brought Manuel here. And 7 months ago, Lord, you did things in his life to keep him alive. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak life into his body. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll visit him like he's never been visited before, by your life and by your grace. Your kingdom come, your will be done, not only in his body, but his entire life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. To all the rest of you, be blessed. When Homer was talking about being in the hospital, I told Candy when I was there Monday night that I just, as when I was there, and there's just hundreds. I mean, if when you walk in there, there's no place to really sit because and I helped a man in that was hobbling, a well-to-do, well-dressed man, and he had severely injured his foot, and I helped him in, and he was hobbling, and he couldn't believe he was so grateful for me helping him into the ER, and I didn't know him, and I couldn't attend to him very long. I just had to go back and see my dad. But as those, it's just a mirage of people, just tons and tons of people. And I shared with Candy, I said, I just wish that they would let me. Now, they won't really, even with a pastoral status, unless you're going back to see somebody specifically. You can't just roam around back there. But I'd give anything for a couple nights a week just to go in that ER and not get in the way, let them do their stuff, but go from bed to bed and see what kind of effect I could have. I believe that I could have, and many of you know what I'm talking about, what we know, and the power, and not be theatrical or loud or anything, but just pray for people. I believe God's going to open doors like that for us with favor in the future. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Excellent service. Wonderful message. I will see you Sunday morning. Blessings to all of you and family out there. Amen.